We just sang together that the one who stands in the presence of God will be the man of a pure heart, whose hands are without stain, who swears not to falsehood, nor loves what is vain. So the man who dwells in the presence of God will be a man of truth, who speaks what is true and loves what is true. For our reading this morning, our text is Ephesians chapter 4. I invite you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're also going to be reading from the back of our Psalter hymnals, Lord's Day 43. It's just one question and answer there, Lord's Day 43. But first, let's start our text in Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 through 29. Our Pew Bibles, that's 1135. Ephesians chapter 4, 25 through 29. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Finally, here's our text, our focus. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their need, that it may benefit those who listen. Then let's turn to the back of our Psalter hymnals. That's page 55 in the back of our Psalter hymnals, Lord's Day 43. Remembering that the Catechism is given to us as a summary of what Scripture teaches, we're continuing to look at the Ten Commandments, now to the ninth command. Lord's Day 43, question and answer 112. What is God's will for us in the ninth commandment? God's will is that I never give false testimony against anyone, twist no one's words, not gossip or slander, nor join in condemning anyone without a hearing or without a just cause. Rather, in court and everywhere else, I should avoid lying and deceit of every kind. These are devices the devil himself uses, and they would call down on me God's intense anger. I should love the truth and speak it candidly and openly acknowledge it. And I should do what I can to guard and advance my neighbor's good name. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning dealing with the ninth commandment, as we read a few minutes ago in the Ten Commandments, the ninth commandment deals with bearing false witness or lying under oath. But when we open it up as a flower in full bloom, we look that the concept, the heart of this command is dealing with truth. But the fact of the matter is, we live in a world that is filled with deceit, filled with lies, filled with falsehood. I think this next week they're beginning those political debates, and there is a whole section of review or response to these debates known as fact-checking. After the debate is finished, you can actually go to this website and they will break down all the claims that these political candidates have made and see if they are true or not. A world that we live in that needs a complete, a distinct area for fact-checking tells you what kind of world in which we live in. Science books in many of our schools, the schools in our area, propagate myth theories as if they were fact. Our world shares Satan's fables, and mankind suppresses the truth in unrighteousness. On the witness stand, but also in our backyards, deceit is found. Even watching the news, which is supposed to be unbiased, you have to ask yourself the question, what's being left out? What points does the anchor think is important? And in overlooking other things, twisting even news stories. Well, it's into this deceitful world that you and I find ourselves that Jesus Christ comes to us with this command to speak the truth. And we're going to look at this theme. Jesus Christ sets us free to know the truth, to love the truth, and to speak the truth. Jesus Christ sets us free to know the truth, love the truth, and to speak the truth. And we begin by looking at the foundation for truth. What is the connection between truth and God? Where is the weight, the heaviness of this command? Well, it comes to us as we go back to the beginning. Because in the very beginning, God spoke. The function that God decided to use in making all things was the Word. In the void, in the nothingness, God raised His voice. It was in speaking that all things were made. God said, "Let there be," and there was, because God cannot lie. And God, in His power and truth, when He calls for something, that something must come forth. So God's voice is truthful, and God's voice is powerful. What He calls comes into existence. But as we turn to the New Testament in the book of John, we find that Jesus is presented as the Word of God, the Word made flesh, the Word of wisdom and truth, that Word that came to us in the darkness, bringing light and life. So there is a direct connection between God the Father and God the Son being agents of truth, bringing light and life by the Word, by being the Word. Indeed, one of the things that God gave to Adam and Eve in the beginning was the truth. The truth specifically about sin and its consequences. God said to Adam and Eve in the garden, "You may eat from every tree, you may eat from all of these things, but there is one tree you must not eat from. In the day you eat of it, dying you will surely die." God spoke the truth to Adam and Eve, "Do not eat of this, because if you eat of it, you will die." It was a true statement. But then we have Satan appearing on the scene, and the first thing Satan does is he attacks the truth, doesn't he? Did God really say? No, Eve, you won't die. You'll be like God. The veracity of God's claim was challenged by Satan. Satan undermined the truth, called into question God's reliability. Is God a truthful speaker? Can you depend on His Word or not? Satan said, "God is lying to you." Satan said, "God cannot be trusted. Trust my Word instead." And from that moment on, when Adam and Eve decides to listen to believe a lie, the battle between truth and falsehood has been present in our world. Unfortunately, Adam and Eve thought Satan was more reliable than God Himself. And thus, all humanity, our forefathers, and we ourselves are plunged into deceit. And this bitter fruit was made evident in that first generation, because God comes to Cain and says, "Cain, where is your brother?" And Cain says, "Brother? I don't know where am I supposed to be my brother's keeper? I haven't seen him." Lies set the context for death. Deceit, falsehood. Rightly does John chapter 8, verse 44 identify the devil as the father of lies, who has been lying from the beginning. There is no truth in him. He speaks with a forked tongue, And in speaking lies, Satan is instrumental in bringing death, making him a murderer. By believing the lie, Adam and Eve lost access to life. By believing a lie, they lost the ability to know what is true. They lost that inherent knowledge. Because mankind was created with true knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, and because of the fall, they lost that. They're now confused, doing what man should not do, running away from God instead of coming to him in humility and faith. After the fall, Adam and Eve started blaming other people, blaming one another, slandering, backbiting, hiding, and run away. You see, lies break unity. Lies disrupt fellowship. Mankind hid from God and they hid from one another. They tried to sew fig leaves together to hide themselves from God and from their spouse. Fellowship is broken. That's what lies do. But God in his grace comes to Adam and Eve, exposes the lie and speaks the truth again, giving a promise of something better, something greater that is to come. Promise for someone who would bring light and truth. Someone who would take this deceiver and crush him under his foot. Promise given for Jesus Christ. This word became flesh. The truth became flesh and dwelt among us. Not only is Jesus truthful in that we can believe what he says, he is the truth. He is wisdom incarnate, the power and wisdom of God made man. Men like Pilate said, "What is truth?" And Jesus says, "I am the truth." And since Jesus is the truth, by his works, by his word, we are set free. And the connection that we see, the beauty, the mystery and the beauty of the gospel is that Jesus Christ was condemned as a liar. Remember Mark 14, we have these false witnesses that come and try to condemn Jesus by twisting the words of Jesus. So in some ways he was condemned as a liar in order to set liars free. Jesus could not, it was impossible for Jesus to lie. It's impossible for him to deceive. Yet he was labeled a liar to save those who lie from childhood. So that we are now set free to see the truth, to know the truth, to love the truth, and to speak the truth. Lies bring slavery. Yet truth brings freedom. Lies enslave and bring conflict. Because one lie leads to another lie, which needs to being covered up. Lies are self-seeking and they catch the liar in a web of deceit. Lies entangle. But truth breaks these webs so that we are set free. As Christians, we know what is true. We know what is true. We know the truth about who we are, where we came from, and where we are going. We know the truth about who Jesus is, about what he has done, and how we can be saved. We are set free to know the truth. Man in his sin is covered in a cloud of deceit. They deny what is true. They deny what creation says. They deny what this world is shouting. They suppress it. They don't want to listen to it because their minds are darkened, their ears are shut. Their eyes cannot see. But when Jesus comes to us by his Spirit, he removes the cloud of darkness. He allows our ears to hear and our eyes to see, our minds to perceive what is true, and we can see what is true around us. That there is a Savior who has died to set us free. So when Christ comes to us, he sets us free from slavery to sin, meaning that in our relationship to fellow man, we can now speak the truth to one another. And in our relationship to God, we can confess our sins in sincerity, because God hates hypocrisy. As Christians, we are set free to say what is true, so we confess our faith together, what we truly believe. We confess it with a heart of faith. We confess our sins. We sing songs, prayer and praise. Because true love casts out fear. It sets us free to live as Christ would have us live. So then, what does this mean specifically? So far, we've been looking at the big picture of lies in creation, in the fall, and in our redemption, how connected truth is to all of these areas. And since that is true, what does that mean God's will for us is? Looking at Lord's Day 43, what is God's will for us in the ninth commandment? What does God mean when he says you are to be people of the truth? To be people, as we read a few minutes ago in Ephesians chapter 4, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Our verse 25, put off falsehood. What does that mean? Well, Lord's Day 43 says that falsehood, lies, deceit, it includes false testimony, twisting other people's words, gossip, slander. These words can be spoken in the context of our relationship to the state and our relationship to one another, but as people of Christ, our words are governed by our relationship to God and our acknowledgement of the truth. To lie is to speak contrary to our position. Speaking lies is the act of those who are in the kingdom of darkness. It's contrary to our redeemed status. To speak lies is contrary to who we are in Christ. Because lies come from a heart that is filled with hatred. But our hearts are filled with love. Lies enslave because they join us to Satan. They distort what is true. They entangle your feet, and in the end you'll be caught like a bird in a snare. Now, lies are found in many different ways. Lies can be seen in many different things. An open lie would be when we say something we know is not true. Twisting someone's word would be taking something out of context, to think something about or to assume some negative motivation. To presume you understand why someone said what they said. Gossip is to slander or to pass on words, which even may be true, but you speak them for the sake of entertainment, for your own pleasure, instead of for the good of others. Now, these things are found in all of our lives. One thing which is very common is gossip. Gossip is that sweet, juicy morsel, which is flavorful. It fills our it's like eating honey, but turns our stomachs sour. Gossip would be when we hear something or we see someone doing something else, and it may even be a sin. And instead of going to them, as Matthew says, and confronting them one-on-one with the sin, our action is to go to someone else and spread these rumors. And even if they are true, to spread them without thinking of the good of the person who spoke or acted. I even know that for my own life, when you are in a disagreement with someone, you presume their motivations. Well, you said this, but I think you said it because this is what you're thinking. We presume to understand the heart of a person and instead of thinking the best, considering others better than ourselves, while assuming our own motives are always pure. And even when we speak out in anger, how often are we not quick to judge other people? Well, you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't be so harsh with your words. Yet when we speak out in our anger, we somehow think we are justified. Lies are very powerful, and they break others down instead of building them up. James 3 outlines exactly how powerful sins of the speech are. James says that our tongues are like, they spit sparks. Our tongues are filled with the poison of a viper. Right? We never underestimate the power of speech. Right, by our speaking, we can set people's lives on fire. By speaking, we can tear down. How many of us don't know friendships that have been broken because of words? Friction, even some of the closest relationships we have on this earth, between a husband and a wife, how often don't we have conflict in our homes because we don't know how to restrain our tongues? We don't know when we should close our lips. And indeed, I think as Proverbs says, help us set a guard, right? Guard over our mouth. Be slow to speak, quick to listen. James says our tongues are like a restless evil. We lie because we think that somehow we'll get ahead by this action of deceit. We lie about our friends, about our family to get pity or for a laugh so that other people will like us. So we stretch stories. We lie to our parents in order to avoid punishment. Lies are by their very nature self-seeking. They're selfish. The reason we lie is we put our own wants and desires before others. Even idolatry exchanges the truth for a lie, deceiving our hearts, as Romans 1 says, to worship created things. But that is not the way of those who are in Christ. That's the old man. That's the old way that's been put to death by Christ. Who can tame the tongue, James says? Well, Jesus tames the tongue by his Spirit. Consider then what our tongues were made for. Our tongues were made to sing, to shout, to pray, and to praise God. Our tongues were made to sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Our mouths were made to build others up. As Ephesians 4:29 says, your speech should be good for something. Your speech should be good for something. Well, what good should we do with our speech? To build others up. To give grace to those who hear. Truthful speech comes from Christ. The truth exposes falsehood. Our truth should be seasoned with salt, so that those who hear it are benefited. Think about it for just a moment. Your speech should benefit others. So when you speak today, are the listeners, to those who hear you, are they benefiting from what we say? Giving grace to those who listen, for the encouragement, for the betterment. It's like a ship that's guided by a rudder. Our tongues can be like a rudder on a huge ship guiding others so that by our words of blessings they are brought into safe harbor. One of the benefits, blessings of being in the community of Christ is that our words can bring such comfort and encouragement. Not only are words powerful to destroy, they are also powerful to build up. One of the greatest blessings we have as Christians is when someone comes to you and says, "Brother, sister, I'm praying for you. I know you're going through a difficult time. I'm here for you. You're in my thoughts. You're in my prayers." Or when someone loses a loved one, even as Paul says, when we talk to each other about the resurrection, the forgiveness of sins, and life everlasting, the benefit is that others are encouraged. They're built up. As Ephesians 4:25 says, put away falsehood, speak the truth, not only hating lies, but loving what is true. Loving the truth is a heart issue. Hearts that are filled with Christ are hearts that are filled with love, and they love what is true because Christ is true. If we love our neighbor, we'll speak the truth to them. Truthful words are like a salve that restores life and vigor. What? Now, why is it that in our relationship, I'm just going to focus on our relationship to other people, why is it that being seen truthful by others is so important? Why is it so vital to us as Christians that people see us as truthful? Well, because Jesus is truthful, right? And if we want others to listen to us when we are sharing the gospel with them, if they don't trust us, will they listen to us? If they don't believe what we're saying, will they really listen? The truth of God's word sets God's people free from bondage to sin and deceit. Speaking the truth in love means that love motivates us. So when we love God above all, we seek his praise first with what we say, and our love for others, meaning that we seek their good in what we say, then our words will be pleasing and acceptable to God, and will bring him praise. To conclude, Jesus gave his life to set us free, from the sin of lies and deceit. Remember that what our mouth says is an overflow of what lives in our heart. If Christ lives in our heart, then truth will be evident in what we speak. Satan is an accuser. He's the father of lies. He promotes hatred, deception, deceit, and death. But Jesus is our advocate, our defender, who speaks the truth to us and speaks the truth about us in his Father's presence. During the life of Jesus, he was accused as a liar, as if he had been deceitful, but he is the only man who ever lives to speak the truth. So may we who are now accepted as God's children be known as people of the truth, as our call to worship says. May the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God, our rock and our redeemer. As Christians, we know the truth. So let's love the truth and speak it openly. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the great blessings we have in Jesus Christ to know what is true about our own position, about the forgiveness of our sins, about the works of Jesus Christ. And we pray that we would be used by you to be prophets who speak the truth, in love for the building up of others, for their benefit, to be grace to them. We pray, O Lord, that you'd forgive us when we fall into the old way of living, the old way of lies and deceits. And we pray that by your Spirit we would continue to know the truth, to love the truth, and to speak it openly by the strength of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.